Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press. Welcome to the second episode of this week's series. We're going to talk today about the Genesis Scottish Open. We'll talk about the ISCO Championship a little bit more in depth with some of kind of our usual rigmarole where we get into some deeper statistics and a little bit more depth than maybe we do in the kind of first impressions show that we typically do. We won't do a model for the ISCO Championship. We'll get that out of the way at the top. I did one, obviously, for the Genesis Scottish Open. We'll talk about that in a second. But the reason I didn't do it for the ISCO, two things. We talked about it in yesterday's show, if you did get a chance to catch it. One, this is a new course. So Hurstbourne is a new course for this championship. It's in Louisville, not Nicholasville. It's sub-7, 100 yards, a par 70 golf course. There are reasons why I expect this thing to just get thrashed by the players in this field. But that's a small portion of the overall model that I do. The problem is that this is a co-sanctioned event with 30, 40 players from the DP World Tour that are taking part in this, that they're not the best DP World Tour players. So they're really hard to model against because we don't do modeling with the DP World Tour data. Even though the keep strokes gain data, we don't have that in our database. So you kind of eliminate a fair chunk of the field that's pretty decent compared to their PGA Tour peers right away, and it just kind of skews things. So we'll just talk about that a little bit more, but I want to focus on the Scottish Open here. Most people are going to bet that anyhow compared to the ISCO. Otherwise, you're a true degenerate. If you have super specific questions about it, get a hold of me on social media or email ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com or ryan ballingy golf, depending on the platform. Happy to answer your very specific ISCO championship questions. Let's get in the model for the Genesis Scottish Open at the Renaissance Club in North Berwick. Top 10, I think, will not surprise you, although I will say two guys on this list do kind of surprise me. So let's get into it. Scottie Scheffler, number one, not surprising. Rory McIlroy, number two. Xander Schauffele, number three, a past winner here. Also a guy who just kind of likes the course and has had a good last couple of years. Tommy Fleetwood is four. We talked about him. I didn't know he was going to come out this high, but he is fourth. Victor Hovland is fifth. Adam Scott is sixth. Justin Thomas is 7th, Bob McIntyre 8th, Sepp Straka 9th, Daniel Berger 10th. So I would say Bobby Mack being on this, being a winner here, and then also being the second place finisher the year prior, even though it's really only like 10% of my model, that gives you a fair leg up, right? He's also won twice in the 2 years of the rolling model, so there's a lot of reasons, and he had a great finish at the U.S. Open, so there's a lot of reasons why he would be higher up. Daniel Berger, I am kind of surprised that he is that high. But he also has a relatively smaller number of tournaments in that two-year window than his peers, and the results have generally been pretty good, so that skews him a little bit. Adam Scott being this high is a little surprising, but he has a second-place finish here last year. He also does seem to kind of like Lynx golf. He should have won an Open Championship by now. Justin Thomas being up there makes sense. Vic makes sense. Tommy Fleetwood definitely makes sense. So I can rationalize my way into it, but that's the top 10. Now, just outside of that, because we're all friends here and you don't have to be a Golf News Net member to always get the top 10, but you get all of the entire field for both events this week, events that we do modeling for, at golfnewsnet.com. Become a member, $40 for 1 year, $70 for 2 years, $100 for 3 years. Number 11 is Corey Connors. Number 12 is Siwoo Kim. Number 13 is Ludvig Åberg. And number 14 is Mav McNealy. So those are some interesting names there. Colin Morikawa's fallen down quite a little bit from earlier in the year. He's 16th in the model. Sam Burns is 15th for what it's worth. JJ Spaun is 17th. Torbjørn Olesen is 18th. And Aaron Rye is 19th. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine today. We just kind of talked a bunch of different stuff, but among it, golf betting. Aaron Rye's name came up because he played well here last year. He has won on Lynx-ish. I think this isn't really true. Lynx is more Lynx-ish golf on the Fairmont St. Andrews back in the COVID era of the DP World Tour. And I'll throw in Bud Cauley in there. We talked about him yesterday. 21st in the model, 125-1. I really do like his chances here this week. So there's the model to work off of. So that's kind of step one. Okay, let's go figure out who's playing well recently. So let's look at the last five PGA Tour events played. Who among them have multiple top 15 finishes? Sam Burns is one. He was a playoff loser at the Canadian Open. Seventh at the U.S. Open. Legitimate chance to win. Maybe the weather doesn't mess up. Maybe he is the U.S. Open champion. Go past that. Ben Griffin's playing great. 14th, 13th, 10th. Harry Hall, 9th and 13th, playing well. 9th at the Travelers, 13th at the Rocket Classic. Russell Henley's playing well. T10 at the U.S. Open, 2nd at the Travelers Championship with that chip in at the end. So Fleetwood fell to him. He rose up to 2nd place as well. Thurston Lawrence is playing pretty okay. 8th place of the Rocket Mortgage before that T12. That's a good number, man. And he wins in Europe. He's done it before. He could do it again. I kind of talked myself out of Thurston earlier, but at 100-1, 115-1, he might be an interesting number, especially for like a first-round leader play kind of out of nowhere. Beyond that, we don't have a lot to pump up. Kevin Roy, who's playing the ISCO Championship, great at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, great at the John Deere Classic. Xander Schauffele, no. Scottie Scheffler, yes. T7 at the U.S. Open. He probably should have won the U.S. Open, to be honest with you, if he could just putt within 6 feet. And then a T6 of the Travelers Championship. I mean, he's just showing up. He's going to play well. We're not betting that 5-1 number, though. J.J. Spaun obviously won the U.S. Open. T14 the week after. And has not showed up since. No need to show up otherwise. Jackson Super, I may put some money on. Isaiah Celinda, I may also put some money on. But I'm just looking at that because this is everybody who's had good finishes in the last five PGA Tour events. So for him, a T6 of the Rocket Classic is a pretty decent little indicator. And then Cam Young's not playing this week. So there you go. That's current form. Now let's look. I want to look at finish trends here. We're kind of going out of some of the order of the usual set of slides that I might do here. But this is for those of you who kind of love the derivative bets, you know, your top 20 finish bets. I tend to look at guys in the last 50 events played who have 40% or more top 20 percentage. A lot of the guys are in this field, right? A lot of them are crap value. Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, Tommy Fleetwood, Corey Connors, Sam Burns, Aaron Rye, Bobby Mack, Russell Henley, Sepp Straka, Ludwig is at 45%. Matt McNeely, Ben Griffin, Harry Hall. There's some value there probably on the top 20. J.J. Spaun, value on the top 20. Kevin Roy, he's the cutoff at 40%. Justin Thomas, just in case you're curious, is 39.13%. Nine of the 23 starts that he's made in the last 50 events played. So there's that. All right. Let's also kind of look at some potential course fit this week. Genesis Scottish Open is kind of a really weird one. You don't gain a lot of strokes off the tee because it's very wide open, generally speaking. So everything's on the approach that makes you think, okay, well, then we're looking at guys who are great approach players or tee to green players, I should say. There's actually a little bit more percentage than you might be inclined to believe off the tee is 23%. Approach is 21%. Strokes gained putting is relatively little of it. So we're looking at guys who are just kind of big tee to green dudes. And those guys this week, you're looking at kind of a lot of people you would like most weeks, right? Rory McIlroy, Pendrith, Fleetwood, Xander, Tom Kim to a degree. I mean, Tom Kim's actually a tremendous fit for this course in a weird way. Matt Wallace is a guy I like a lot this week as kind of an interesting underdog pick. Tom Dietrich, Tom Hoagie, just guys who don't really do a lot with the putter, but guys who gain all their strokes, other Bud Cauley, Keith Mitchell, Sepp Straka, Matt Fitzpatrick, just over and over again, guys who are potential fits here. again, I would really emphasize tee to green here. The off the tee stuff helps, but not that much, especially in the weather. You got to flight your ball. You got to really be able to let it run down the fairway. You can kind of get a lot of distance instead of carrying it through the air like you typically do in the States. So that really is a nullifying factor here this week at the Renaissance Club. All right. Now, let's talk about strokes gained tee to green, low variance players among the leaders, strokes gained tee to green and average. So if you aren't familiar with what we do with this on the show, try to talk about players who gain a lot of strokes tee to green. We want that, right? We want guys who are great on the approach and off the tee, and we'll even throw in around the green. I want to take out putting from this because I want to know who's doing that well and also doing it with a measure of consistency. So I want to know that you're doing it well week in, week out, relatively speaking, compared to guys like, interestingly enough, Colin Morikawa, Rory McIlroy, JJ Spahn, Aaron Rye, who just kind of do it not as commonly. There's more ups and downs to that plot, the dot plot. And we want less of that. We want less up and down. We want a smooth line, mostly up, smooth line. That's what we're looking for. So some of the guys in the field who fit that bill: Rasmus Nyegaard-Pedersen, Scotty Scheffler, Sepp Straka, Tommy Fleetwood, Bud Cauley. One of the lowest variances at the top of the board. But the drop-off between tee to green and strokes gained tee to green average at Scotty Scheffler at a little above 2 per round down to Bud Cauley is 1.1 strokes per round. So, yeah, Scotty may have a little bit more variability, but also statistically speaking, that's because he's so much better than everybody else. He can have rounds where he gains 3 and then gains 1. That still averages out to 2, but there's more variance there. Bud Cauley averages 1, but he probably averages more like 1.3, 0.9, 1.4, 1.1, something like that. So it's a little tighter. That doesn't necessarily tell you everything, but it kind of tells you some elements of consistency. Daniel Berger's on this list. Again, less than 1 stroke tee to green per round on average. That's not a bad thing. That's high. But you look at someone like a Ryan Gerard, who's at 0.8, you know, the 0.1 difference between Bud Cauley and Ryan Gerard over this span. But Ryan Gerard has the lowest variance of anybody in the top 20 on this list, 0.597. I don't usually talk about the variance number, but it's just a statistical number. It doesn't really have a whole lot of meaning to it other than that lower is better for what we're looking for. So Ryan Gerard, just kind of his game travels everywhere pretty good. So those are some guys to consider. Siwoo Kim is actually on this list, and I did find that kind of interesting. I have not thought of him historically as a guy who is consistent, whose game travels. I think of him as streaky and venue-driven, and that the older he has gotten, the less true that is. I think that's a very interesting thing. Let's look at short-term modeling. This is something we talk about most every show. And we try to kind of put this into 3 buckets, right? We're talking in the last 10 PGA Tour events played. We're looking for players who are gaining more than 1.5 strokes per round, or excuse me, more than 1.25 strokes per round total in the average, right? Total strokes gain. Then we're going to look at guys who are averaging 1.5 quality strokes gained per round or more. And that's total strokes gain multiplied by a multiplier that's derived from the value of the winner's official World Golf Ranking points for the week. Basically, if you're in a major, it's double the points. If you're in a 50-point field, that's parity. That's 1.0. That's the multiplier. Keep it the same. Weaker fields devalues, stronger fields values them more, right? So we're trying to say, okay, not only did you gain strokes, you beat better players. So we should value those strokes gained more than if you beat a bunch of guys who are not playing well, right? Weaker competition. So guys who qualify under the strokes gain total category, we have almost 17 of them. I mean, we got a lot of guys here. So take a minute to go through the list. Scotty Scheffler, Rasmus Nyegaard-Pedersen, Marco Penje. We really only have that for a limited number of events. Tommy Fleetwood, Harry Hall, Thriston Lawrence, JJ Spahn, Chris Goddard, which is why he shows up 60 and 70 to 1 this week. Sam Burns, Aldrich Pikeiter, Andrew Putnam, Harris English, whose game doesn't really tend to travel overseas, Robert McIntyre. A lot of that's derived from the U.S. Open. Kevin Yu, but he's done a lot of that against weaker competition. Nick Taylor and Matt Fitzpatrick. Doing this with quality strokes gained in mind, you're going to see a lot of the same names, but slightly different order. So Scottie Scheffler, Neergaard Pedersen, Penn Jay, Spahn, Thriston Lawrence, Victor Hovland falls just short on the total metric, but is right up there on the quality strokes gained metric because he's playing against better competition. You're also going to hear his name again in a minute when we do the approach set. Tommy Fleetwood, Sam Burns, Matt Wallace. Again, we just short of that qualifying number in the total. And really, he's struggling on the approach, which is interesting because he's doing it every other way. I mean, he's chipping and putting brilliantly. If he just has a decent week with the approach, he can win this golf tournament. Robert McIntyre, Harris English, Matt Fitzpatrick, Harry Hall, Adam Scott, Rory McIlroy, who's doing a lot of damage to himself on the approach, Nick Taylor, Xander Schauffele, who's doing it to himself, not by playing poorly, just not by playing well enough. Chris Goddard, Sepp Straka, Corey Connors, Ryan Fox. Ryan Fox is really playing very consistent golf almost at every facet of the game except around the green. But this week, there's some imagination to it. He likes Lynx golf. He's won on a Lynx course on the DP World Tour. So let's go with that. All right, last category in this short, kind of short-term form group is on the approach play. I'm looking for players who are gaining 0.6 strokes per round on the approach or better. So these aren't guys who are necessarily doing everything right or three things out of four really well. They're guys who are doing the most important part well. To me, approach play is the most important part because you're always hitting an approach. And approach play is the best indicator of how good of a golfer you are if we took everything else away. You can gain strokes off the tee by hitting long drives that wind up in the rough. You can do it by hitting shorter drives that wind up straight. That doesn't really it helps, but it doesn't really tell me anything. What you do with that, that tee shot, that tells me a lot. So that's why we say the approach. Because if you take out off the tee, which is a variable thing, for a lot of these guys on this list, they're not negative. They're playing well. But oftentimes, these guys and most of these guys on this list are deep in the negative on putting. So half the list is guys who are in the neg badly on putting. So all they need is a good putting week to maybe be a threat. And that putting is variable enough that that kind of thing can happen. So here are guys doing it on the approach. Scottie Scheffler, Luke Donald. But I mean, he loses so many strokes off the tee, he can't recover it. I mean, he loses 1.5 strokes per round off the tee. He's just that short. In the aggregate, everything else is right about 1.5. So he is losing 0.04 strokes per round, despite being a world-class approach player and a very good putter, because he can't hit it far enough. That's how this game works. Neergaard Pedersen, gaining between off the tee and on the approach, almost a little bit more than 1.8 strokes. Around the green, very good. Great chipping and putting. Or great chipping and pitching and sand play. Horrible putter. Minus 0.8 strokes per round. I mean, he's like putting with a block of wood out there. Mateo Manassero has played very well this year, and he's got relatively low odds. He doesn't gain a lot off the tee. He's always been a short hitter, and he's not putting particularly well. But he's doing it with approach play. Victor Hovland, putting's always bad. You know that. Brian Campbell, doing it great with the approach. He is losing 0.7 strokes per round because he is the shortest hitter on the PGA Tour. Luke Donald syndrome, right? Everything else, pretty good. Actually, pretty decent. Daniel Berger, again, putting minus 0.5 strokes per round. Around the green, terrible chipping and putting. Victor Perez also doing pretty well overall. Just playing a lot of weaker competition and kind of can't get out of his own way with chipping and pitching. So there's your list of kind of guys based on last 10 events played that are doing the things right that are either in the aggregate, quality of competition-wise, or just on the approach. So there's a lot to take in there. Again, we don't have a lot of horses for courses here. You've got Rory, you've got Xander, you've got Bobby Mack. Those are really it because we only have 3 years' worth of data. So if you top 15 multiple times, that's kind of your list. I would say Aaron Rye probably is indicative of it. Other than that, you're kind of throwing darts here. And again, very weather-dependent tournament to kind of... It's worth it to take a longer shot here, even though we've had quality winners each of the last 3 years, right? Between Xander doing it and Rory doing it. I mean, then Bobby Mack playing one of the best years of his life, if not the best year of his life, playing high-quality top 15 world-class golf. So on one hand, you want to go bet a longer shot because that's where the value is, but the reality, the more likely outcome is someone short wins. But that's why we do this, for the fun of it. The ISCO Championship, I don't take a lot away from data modeling. I attempted to do it and just kind of scrapped the whole thing. Didn't come away with anything I really, really loved. Again, I would just rely on what we talked on yesterday's show, how we kind of arrive at some bets this week. Kind of don't go with the short guys, even though they've got things to play for. I would take some lottery tickets here. Treat this as like a 1 week Q school. It's a 4-round Q school to get a 2-year exemption. That's what you're playing for. And there's some guys, longer shots, that can do that in a 1 week situation. You could get a very unlikely outcome, but I would expect it to go pretty deep. So maybe if you're thinking about, if you like this market, if you're thinking about a over under prop on total score, you know, the winning score, if you're curious, the prop for that at Renaissance Club is 262.5. So 17.5 under par is your over under. It's par 70. That one I don't feel strongly about. I would probably play the under that number, just thinking the weather could come in. But if you look at the ISCO Championship, they don't even have a prop on it because they're expecting it to be destruction. So you probably want to think about some guys who, again, bombers, hit the crap of the ball, you know, that they can hit a long way, slash guys who beat up on these fields. So a Mark Hubbard would qualify for that. But look at a Chris Ventura, look at a Cam Champ, look at Taylor Montgomery, who's playing well on the Corn Ferry Tour, but also getting some recent starts. Jackson Suber is worth a look, I think, at 50-1. Again, kind of fits in that category. I think he can do very well this week, and that'll probably be the extent of where I go with it. Just 3 or 4 guys, little minor sweats, and that'll be the end of it. You kind of heard all the noise about all the other players that I would consider or like this week because of this field. Plan accordingly. Plan for a fun winner. Expect Scottie Scheffler or Xander Schauffele to have the trophy at the end of the week, and just, or Rory McIlroy for that matter, and go, oh, well, they did it again. But that's why we're doing this. We're trying to have fun, trying to make a little bit of money, but try to get it right and try to put you in a position where even if you don't win, still feel like you did the right thing and you made sound plays based on facts and data instead of just kind of feeling and just putting money out there without a good reason. All right, that's going to do it for us this week on the show. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. Next week is all Open Championship. It's going to be a lot of fun. Like I said yesterday, my favorite part of the world is the island of Ireland, whether it's the Republic or Northern Ireland. It's going to be awesome. Really happy for the people there that get to have the Open Championship in their backyard next week. So we'll focus everything that we've got on that. If you got questions, email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I am on social media at Ryan Ballingy or Ryan Ballingy Golf. You can also join Golf News Net for $40 for 1 year, $70 for 2 years, or $100 for 3 years at golfnewsnet.com. Get access to all of our modeling, all of our tools. I take a little bit more of a simplified approach because I have played pretty strong competitive golf over the years, and I know golf is a sport with a lot of random events that over the long haul kind of yield truths. And that approach has served me well over the years, but that's why I don't dive in as deep into some things as maybe some other folks do. Try to simplify things because you're looking, the deeper you dig, the more you realize none of the numbers really make a lot of sense is stringing together random events. So let's try to take it from a broader view I think it works out a little bit better. But always happy to have those philosophical discussions as well. Thanks so much for listening. Good luck with all your bets this week. Get ready for the Open Championship and let's get excited for it. Talk to you then.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.